Okay, I'm recording. Good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur is sponsored L'zecher Nishmas Harav Shalom Pinchas Ben Rabbi Yisrael Elazar Zecharino Lebracha Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. This is Reb Ezra's grandfather. Yashar Koyach to the World Galanter Mishpacha for sponsoring. This triggered an interesting discussion. The yard site. The Rav Shalom Pinchas was nifter on Yud Beis Adar, so on a Shana Pshuta, on a regular year. So the Shaila is, when you get to a leap year, there are two Adars. So which month do you observe the Yard site? So there's actually a machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. One opinion says you observe it in the Adar Rishon. The other opinion says you observe it in the Adar Sheni. There's a machlekes what the Iker day is. And the Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Avraham that the minig is to observe both. So back in the day when people used to fast on a parent's yard site, so if possible, the minig was to fast on both Adars in deference to accommodate both opinions. So that was an interesting shaila. The neshama should have an aliyah, yasher koyach to the world and the mishpacha. Okay, so the past few weeks we've been discussing a lot of the yesoides, a lot of the fundamentals, the concepts surrounding Chol HaMoed. So the first week we were discussing in general the broad strokes, whether the malachas of Chol HaMoed that are prohibited, are they aser midoraisa, which would be the simple reading of the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And the Rif brings all of those drushes that we saw. He brings them pshuta kemashmoi, he brings them straightforward, seemingly implying that it's d'oraisa. We learned that Rashi also seems to say that Malechus Chol HaMoed is d'oraisa, and the Rosh and the Tosfos and others maintain that Malechus Chol HaMoed is only d'rabbanan, rabbinic. And then we had the Ramban. The Ramban had a pshara, he had a compromise position that whatever is forbidden, the malachas that are forbidden are aser d'oraisa, but when we give the exceptions, when we give the heterim, for example, Malechus Dover HaAvod, that is permitted midoraisa, and the details surrounding that heter, if a person plans it, schedules it, he's not allowed, those details would only be rabbinic. So it's a compromise. Sometimes something is aser deraisa, sometimes something is only aser derabbanan. The second shir, the second discussion that we had was the inyan of pragmatia. That's what we discussed last week, and we discussed the ins and outs about that, the various heterim, and we tried to be malamed tzchus on people that need to work kerugil on Chol HaMoed, that they can actually file for the Dover HaAvod exemption, or they can consider it a tzarech hamoed. Tonight we'll discuss specifically writing on Chol HaMoed, and I would like to go through some of the Mishnayos in Moed Katan just to show how ambiguous the halacha is, how unclear the halacha is, and then we'll attempt to demystify it, and we'll basically try to put Malechus Ksiva under the ordinary categories of heter, and we'll see in Yitz Hashem that it's really not so complicated at all. It really just falls very neatly under the existing categories that are already out there, that are already mutter. There's nothing unique about the Malechus Ksiva on Chol HaMoed. Let's learn some of the Mishnayos together. And at first glance, it's very perplexing. It seems to be random. What's mutter and what's aser? There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. And as we delve in, we'll see that each thing fits very neatly under its category. So the Mishnah says, Elu koisvin b'moyim. The following things can be written in Chol HaMoed. Kedushei nashim. So back in the day, so we used to have erusin separate with nesuin, and you can marry a woman either with kesef or with shtar or with bia, and kiddushei nashim, you're allowed to get a sofer to write kiddushei nashim, to write a marriage document. This is not a ksuba, this is a marriage document. You can get a sofer to write a professional marriage document on Chol HaMoed. We know the halacha is you're not allowed to marry on Chol HaMoed, but that's referring specifically to nesuin. That's referring to consummating the marriage. But the erusin, the first half of the marriage, which is simply erusin, that's not as big of a simcha. That is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. So you're allowed to write kiddushei nashim. A sofer would be able to put together a marriage document for someone on Chol HaMoed. Gittin, if lo aleinu, a person has to give a get, so we can write gittin on Chol HaMoed. Shoivrin, we can write receipts. If a person paid back a debt, he's afraid that will forget that I paid back the debt. The malva will reclaim the money. He didn't return the shtar, so you can write a receipt. You can get a scribe to write a receipt. Daitiki, our wills, matana, our various gifts. Prusbulin, we discussed a prusbul. A prusbul is the Shemitah year this year. So if you didn't get around to writing a prusbul, the prusbul has to be written by Erev Rosh Hashanah of the following Shemitah, because the Shemitah cancels the loan at the end of the year. So you can use Chol HaMoed as a time to write the prusbul. And this is actually very interesting because we're discussing Chol HaMoed, Sukkos and Pesach. It's nowhere near the end of the year. You still can use the Chol HaMoed to write, to have a scribe or a Beis Din write up a prusbul for you. Igros Shum are assessment documents. If the Beis Din assessed the person's property related to a collection agency or things like that. Igros Mazon, sometimes a man marries a woman and the woman has children from a previous marriage, so the man commits to supporting those children for any number of years. Igros Mazon, these documents and agreements and contractual agreements can be written up by the Beis Din. Shtari Chalitza Umeunim Miunim. A Shtar Chalitza, we know what that is. Chalitza is this ceremony that's done between the brother-in-law of a nifter, the brother of a nifter who passed away without children. So he has an obligation to marry his sister-in-law. Normally it's an issacharis, but under the context of Yibum, he has a mitzvah to marry his Yavama. If for whatever reason they decide, they opt not to, so they perform the ceremony of Chalitza, and then the Beis Din would write a document, Shtari Chalitza, they would write a document in order that the woman will have proof, it'll be a record that she received the Chalitza and she's permitted to marry. And Mi'unim is the same thing. Mi'unim is a very interesting institution that a father has the right to marry his minor daughter off. It's foreign, it's obviously foreign in our culture, but the father has the ability, he's authorized to marry, to accept his daughter's hand in marriage. If the father passes away and the daughter is Yesoma, is an orphan, so the Rabbanan give the mother or the brothers the right to marry the daughter off. Again, in our society, it's foreign, it's a foreign concept, but the Mefarshim explained back in the day that the custom was that girls got married young. And this was really for the protection of the girl, that she should be married, she should have a husband as a young girl, that she should be set up for life. So if her father passed away, the mother or the brother is rabbinically authorized to marry the girl off. Now, if the girl, when the girl becomes of age, if she rejects that marriage, that's called miyun, she refuses. Because the kedushin is only a rabbinic kedushin, she could, it's pending. This rabbinic kedushin is pending until she becomes of age. If she becomes of age and she rejects this marriage, she doesn't even require a get because the whole kedushin was only rabbinic and it was pending her becoming of age. If she rejects the marriage, retroactively, she was never considered married. She's not even considered a grusha. She would be permitted to marry a kohen after that because she was retroactively never considered married at all. It's annulling the original rabbinic kedushin. So again, everybody knows that this man and girl were living together as husband and wife. So now she needs proof that she performed the miyun ceremony when she became of age. So the Beis Din would be permitted to write up this document for this girl that she should have it in her hand to be able to prove later on that she's no longer married. She's no longer tied to anybody. Shtarei Beruin. Shtarei Beruin, different Mefarshim have different explanations what this is. A birur, sometimes you have a court case and the litigants each choose a judge to be Zabla, Zebbeirer, Loidai, Nechad, Zebbeirer. Other Mefarshim explain Beruin is when the Beis Din was involved in dividing an estate. So they divide, they give this asset to this brother, this asset to that brother. So we don't want the Bezdin to forget what the Chalukah was. So the Bezdin is allowed to write the Shtarei Beirurin. A Gzeiris Bezdin, if the Bezdin would enact some decree, a verdict, the Bezdin is allowed to record their verdict. All of this is going on in Chol HaMoed. Igris Shel Rishus. And you also have letters of Rishus. Now this is very interesting because there's actually a Machlokes Rishonim what this term means. Rashi says, and Tosfos brings this pshat as well, Igris Shel Rishus means governmental documents. So if the king has a proclamation, and for whatever reason the Jewish people are required to write down this proclamation, the king is visiting the town this week, or some other proclamation, so a Jewish scribe would be allowed to write down the governmental, the edicts of the king. That's Rashi's explanation. Others explain, based on Yushalmi, and the Rambam learns like that, that Igris Shel Rishus means friendly letters. You're allowed to sit down and write that letter that you never got a chance to write. You always wanted to reach out to your friend. You're allowed to write that letter, a private letter, nothing to do with the Bezdin. You're allowed to write this letter that you always were meaning to get to, Chol HaMoed, your home, you're off from work, so you can take the time to write a friendly letter on Chol HaMoed. So we have a whole list of things that you are allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The very next Mishnah says, Ein koisvin shtari choyv b'moed, but you're not allowed to write IOUs on the Moed. If a person borrows money or wants to borrow money, so you should avoid writing a shtar choyv b'moed. In Einu Maninoi, however, if the loive, if the borrower requires the loan now, and the malve, for whatever reason, does not trust the loive, the assumption is the loive won't deny the loan. And the few days of Chol HaMoed won't be a davar ha'avid. You can postpone the writing of the IOU until after Chol HaMoed. It's not necessary to write it now. But if you don't trust the loive, if the loive is a crook, so you want to lend him money, but you don't trust him, so then you would be allowed, because it's a davar ha'avid, to write the shtar milve on the Chol HaMoed. Or another heter, which we're not going to speak about tonight, she'ein lo ma yoichel. If the scribe doesn't have what to eat, so this is a special exemption on Chol HaMoed. It really becomes like a tzarchei hamoed. If the workers need money, you're allowed to come up with arbitrary things to do. Imagine if there's a worker out there, a Jewish worker who doesn't have what to eat. Some mafarshim explain it means literally he doesn't have what to eat. Other mafarshim explain that he doesn't have enough to splurge on the yomtiv. So you can come up with odd jobs, things that are not relevant at all to Chol HaMoed. You can ask him to mow your lawn. You can ask him to build something for you. Any odd job that ordinarily would not be permitted in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to ask him to do, in order, basically a subterfuge, to give the person a job and be able to get money to his hands, get him some cash that he would be able to enjoy the yomtiv. So that would be, if you're allowed to lend money and hire, employ a scribe to write a document simply in order to get him money. You're not doing it for your own purposes, you're doing it for him, so that becomes a tzarech hamoyed for the worker, the person who you're employing. So otherwise you shouldn't write a shtar choyv, a document, an IOU. Another thing you can't write are svarim, tefillin, and mezuzas b'moyed. So especially if we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but one cannot write svarim, tefillin, and mezuzas on Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein magiyin ois achas afilu b'sefer Ezra. This is another mystery what this means. You can't correct the Sefer Torah, even a Sefer Ezra. Now this is a fascinating concept. What's a Sefer Ezra? So some translate this to mean that this is the Sefer Ezra. This was the Sefer that Ezra HaSofer wrote. This was like the prototype Sefer Torah that was the official authentic Sefer Torah that everybody else would use to authenticize their Sefer Torah. If there's ever a question crops up, what's the proper girsa? We know that Moroccan Sefer Torah and Ashkenazic Sefer Torah, they even have different spellings of the word sometimes. So Sefer Ezra was an authentic Sefer Torah. This is like the Sefer Torah. This is like the mint Sefer Torah that we would all copy. If that Sefer Torah had a mistake, and that's almost like a, we're almost like risking the Mesoira. Even such a sefer you can't correct on Chol HaMoed, because the Ksav Ashuris would be considered a forbidden Ksav on Chol HaMoed. That's a fascinating halacha. Others translate Sefer Ezra not with an aleph, but Azara. It means the sefer in the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohen Gadol would read from on Yom Kippur. So it's almost like the Mishnah is like exaggerating. The Mishnah is saying even the most important Sifrei Torah that you could think of, the Sefer Ezra, or the Sefer Azara, the Sefer that's in the Beis HaMikdash itself that they reserve special for the Kohen Gadol to read from on Yom Kippur, even these important sacred Sifrei Torah, these national heirloom Sifrei Torah, they could not be fixed on Chol HaMoed. So I concluded here with these two Mishnayos, Hadvarim Stumim, that this needs to be elaborated on, because why is there a whole list of things that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, and then we have a whole list of things that we're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed? We can't even correct a Sefer Ezra or a Sefer Azara. What's the difference? The Dvarim are Stumim. It seems to be like a mystery what's Mutter and what's Aser. So let's try to demystify this a bit, and let's take the opportunity now to expound on some of the categories of heterim for Chol HaMoed. So again, we have to always bear in mind whether we consider the malachas of Chol HaMoed to be an Isser Deraisa or whether we consider them to be an Isser Derabanan. It was Masru HaKasav L'Chachamim. The Torah authorized the Rabbanan to decide what is Mutter and what is Aser. So going through Meseches Moikatim, going through the halacha, there are three basic categories of permitted labor on Chol HaMoed. So considering that malacha on Chol HaMoed is Aser, there are three basic exceptions. One exception is Davar HaAvod. So we talked about this the first week. Davar HaAvod is that you're allowed to perform malacha on Chol HaMoed, any malacha, in order to avoid a loss. Last week we talked about engaging in business, in pragmatia. That's much more lenient, because pragmatia is not even a malacha. But Davar HaAvod even permits malacha. It even permits malachas that would normally be forbidden, things that are not relevant to Chol HaMoed, but if I don't do it now, it's going to incur a loss, and therefore you're allowed to perform Davar HaAvod. That's category number one. Category number two is Tzorchei Rabim, communal needs. Communal needs are mutter on Chol HaMoed, and we're going to go through a Gemara that discusses this. The Rush says something very interesting. The Rush says that communal needs are permitted on Chol HaMoed, even if they're not relevant to the Yom Tov, because Kidra de Beishutfi lechamimi lepriu. This is the famous expression that partners, nothing ever gets done in a partnership. A pot that belongs to two people that's sitting on the stove, it never boils and it never gets cold. Kidra de Beishutfi, a pot sitting on the stove, it's like the common expression, too many chefs spoil the pot. So a kidra de Beishutfi, a pot that's sitting on the stove, loy chamim v'lekri, it never gets hot and it never gets cold, because everybody's tinkering with it, everybody has their own daya, and it ends up, the matter ends up just getting postponed and it never gets done. So the Rush says, Chol HaMoed, where presumably everybody has a bit more free time on their hands, that's when we can finally get the Tzorchei HaRabim done. So they designated Chol HaMoed the times to have Tzorchei Rabim. So the Mishnah has all sorts of incredible things that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to fix the mikvahs on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to pave the roads on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to go, the police, the Jewish police are allowed to go and enforce the laws of Klayim. If a person has a vineyard and he has some grain growing in the vineyard, they would go and police the different gardens and uproot the Klayim. A whole list of unrelated to Chol HaMoed activities that were done based on Tzorchei Rabim. And we're going to learn a Gemara that gives us a very clear Gedarm about that. And then finally, Tzorchei Yachid, private needs, personal needs can be done on Chol HaMoed. Now, Tzorchei Yachid themselves can be divided into two. It can be divided into Oichel Nefesh, which we basically permit anything, and other Tzorchei Yachid, other things that a person might want to do, Letzerech HaMoed. These are the three basic categories. Davar HaAvod, in order to avoid a loss, Tzorchei Rabim, public communal needs, and Tzorchei Yachid, personal needs. We mentioned before that if a worker doesn't have money, so we can come up with any excuse to hire him in order to send money his way, that would be sort of a tzorche yachid. That would be in order to, that the person can observe the yomtiv, that would fall a poil she'en man mayoicha. But these are the three basic categories that are mutter. Davar ha'ovid, tzorche rabim, and tzorche yachid. Now, let's talk about, just to give some examples of the Gemara, a davar ha'ovid is mutter. If it's in order to avoid a loss, even a davar ha'ovid is mutter. This is the item dalet in the notes. So even a maisa uman, even professional labor is permitted in order to avoid a loss. As long, and we spoke about this, as long as it was loikivin malachta b'moit, as long as you didn't deliberately schedule that activity for halamoit, it came because of circumstances beyond our control. All of a sudden you wake up one morning and you see that if I don't take care of this now, I'm going to incur a loss. We had an example the other week that the person's olives were all ready to be pressed. And then something out of his control came up. His workers quit on him or something. He's allowed to press the olives himself on Chol HaMoed. A davar ha'avod, as long as you didn't deliberately schedule it for Chol HaMoed. Now, here's another example of this heter. Dav Zayin on Aleph in Meseches Moed Katan. The Gemara tells us, Makrin es ha'pirtzei b'moed. If a person's fence gets a hole in the fence, so now he's not protected. So he's allowed to be makrin, he's allowed to fix the fence in a casual, unprofessional way, a temporary way. Ketzed makrin, what does it mean that you're allowed to fix the fence in a temporary way? Rabbi Yosef on Rabbi Hutzah B'dafna, you can stuff up the fence with stuffing, Hutzah B'dafna, with twigs, little stuffings, a temporary fix, just a band-aid fix, and after Chol HaMoed, you'll be able to fix the fence permanently. So here's an example of Davar HaOved. Amar Rav Chista Leishanu El HaKoisel Gina. This is referring to a garden where the purpose of the fence is merely to keep the animals out or something like that. these heted. So someone's asking me a question about these leniencies. Don't these leniencies imply that Meleches Chol HaMoed is only Durabanan? So that was the famous expression of the Gemara, that Masru HaKasav LeChachamim, even the opinions that hold that Meleches Chol HaMoed are Duraisa, but the Torah authorized the Rabbanan to decide which Meleches are Asr and which Meleches are Mutter. It's a fascinating concept. So Rav Chista says the following. Rav Chista says, Loishanu Elokoisel Gina, when do we require you to only put a band-aid on the fence, to fix it temporarily and not to do a permanent fix? That is when the wall that surrounds your garden. It surrounds your garden. We're not afraid of any theft. We're just there to keep the animals out. So make a makeshift fence. It'll protect the garden for now. And after Chol HaMoed, you can fix the fence in a permanent fashion. Aval koisel chatzer, but if it's the wall around your courtyard, and in those days people used to use their courtyard almost like an extension of their home. They used to keep valuables there, furniture there. They used to spend time in the courtyard. They used to have deliveries dropped off there. So now there's a real concern of burglaries because the chatzer is an extension of his home. So boine kedarko, then he's allowed to build a wall in the ordinary fashion, which means with bricks and with mortar, and he's allowed to build a permanent wall, and that's a maisa uman. So this is one of the examples the Gemara has. Hainu mishum de davar ha'avod vo. This is a davar ha'avod. This is a bona fide risk, monetary risk. You can't leave your chatzar wide open. So you're allowed to fix the chatzar on Chol HaMoed with a permanent fix. Boine kedarka. You can build in the ordinary way. And as we see, they even permitted a maisa uman. They permitted professional labor, a permanent fix. Beloy kivin malachtoi. Provided that it was something that you didn't deliberately schedule for Chol HaMoed. So here's an example of Davar HaOved. Davar HaOved is something that you're even allowed to perform a Maisa Uman as long as you didn't deliberately schedule it for Chol HaMoed. That's Davar HaOved. So let's put Davar HaOved on the burner for a moment. That's one category of heter. Let's learn about the heter of Tzorchei Rabim versus Tzarchei Hedyot. These were the other two main categories of Heterim on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara Moikatim on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, it's a very illuminating Gemara. The Gemara tells us some of these examples are old-fashioned examples, but we can apply the concept to a more modern example. The Gemara tells us on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, Choytetin Boirei Shel Yachid. So the private cisterns, the private wells, like a person's plumbing or things like that, Choytetin Boirei Shel Yachid. A person is allowed to repair his wells, a private well. A person has a well in his backyard, and some of the bricks fell into the water. It's dirty. It got a little bit clogged. So Choytetin Boirei Shel Yachid, you're allowed to clean out and fix the private wells on Chol HaMoed. And here I embolded the font. Here is a caveat. B'sheyachid tzarech lahem. If the water is needed for Yom Tov for Chol HaMoed. So here we go. There's a heter for a yachid to clean his well, to dig out, to fix his wells, if that well is needed for Chol HaMoed. And then the Gemara goes on, Ein tzarech lahem shel rabim, it goes without saying that you can fix a communal well. The municipality has a water supply. It goes without saying that you can fix those wells, kishu rabim tzarech lahem, if those wells are necessary for the week of Chol HaMoed. The afilu chafira mutter, because for a rabim, for a community, for a tzibor, even you can even dig a well from scratch. So for a private person, he's allowed to fix the well. And it goes without saying that you can fix a public well, because a public well that's needed, the people need that water supply for Chol HaMoed, you can even dig a well from scratch, let alone, of course you could fix the well, because you can even dig a well from scratch. Now the Gemara continues, Ein choifrin borisichon omaris shel rabim, she'ein rabim tzrich olehem. However, you cannot dig a well from scratch, even for a community, if the community does not have a need for that water now, you're just building the well as like a backup well for the year or for extra, but it's not really necessary for the Chol HaMoed, then you would not be allowed to dig the well. It goes without saying that you can't dig a well from scratch for a yachid, for a private person, the chi ein yachid tzarech lahem, because if the yachid doesn't need it, afilu chatita nami shari, you're not even allowed to fix the well. So just, it's confusing. Let's just summarize. So for a private individual, if the individual needs that well for Chol HaMoed or for Yom Tov, he can fix the well, but he can't dig the well from scratch. If he doesn't need the well, he can't even fix it. A tzibor, it depends. If the rabim need the water for the Yom Tov, for the Chol HaMoed, you can even dig the well from scratch. If the rabim does not need the water, it's only extra, it's for after Yom Tov, then you can fix the well, but you can't dig it from scratch. So the rabim, everything bumps up a notch. A yachid cannot even fix the well if he doesn't have a use for Chol HaMoed. A rabim could fix the well. A yachid could never dig a well from scratch, but a rabim, if they need the well for Chol HaMoed, they can even dig a well from scratch. What's the difference, and how can we identify the working principle here? And instead of just memorizing that we're allowed to dig a well for a rabim, you can fix a well for the yachid. What's the underlying principle here that we can apply to other examples? So the Rush in Perikama Simen Vav, he identifies for us what is the rules that are at play here. Im Toima, the Rush asks, Maishno mechafiris boirasichin omairis shal rabim, the be'in and tzarech hamoed. What's the difference? If you're allowed to perform malacha for a rabim, because fixing a well would be a malacha also, you wouldn't be allowed to do such a thing on Shabbos. Fixing a well would be an inisa deraisa. So if you're allowed to do malacha for a rabim, what's the difference between fixing a well or digging a well? And what's the difference that a yachid you could fix and you can't dig? And what's the difference that a rabim, if they need it, you can even dig. If they don't need it, you can fix. What's the difference? So says the Rush, and this is the underlying principle. Hasan mipnei shehein malachas uman. Digging a well is a permanent professional labor, a malachas uman. When you're digging a well, there's no way to dig a well in some kind of temporary fashion. You can't make a shinui. It's not going to work. It's all or nothing. Either you dig the well properly or you don't. If you try to employ some kind of shinui, if you try to dig a well in some sort of temporary manner, it's not going to be a well. So that's what digging a well represents. Digging a well is an example of a maisa uma. Aval kol elu, but the rest, fixing a well, is a maisa hedyet. That's something that a layman can do. That's a temporary thing. That doesn't require any skill. That's a maisa hedyet. So says the Rush, zehu hefresh yesh b'tzorchi rabim. This is what we permit by a tzorchi rabim. Maisa uman, so when it comes to the rabim, when it comes to a tzibur, we're prepared to permit even professional permanent labor as long as it's a tzarech hamoed. Be'inan she'ei tzarech hamoed. As long as the rabbin has a use for that malacha on the yomtif itself, the chalamoed or the yomtif, we're even prepared to permit a maisa uma. That's why you can dig a well from scratch. That has to be done professionally. That has to be done right. That can be done for the rabbin if they need the well. Even if you deliberately scheduled it for Chol HaMoed, if it's something the Rabbim needs for the Yom Tov, you can even deliberately schedule all of the well digging that you need to do for the Rabbim on Chol HaMoed. Now imagine, you know how they have the signs in the shuls that everyone's going to Six Flags, the community's going to the Chol HaMoed trip on the second day of Chol HaMoed. So imagine if in the shul there will be a sign, second day of Chol HaMoed is well digging day, right? Because we deliberately scheduled the digging of the wells, the communal wells. We're going to fix all the pipes. We're going to bring our trucks and dig up the sidewalk and fix the pipes. That's how we're going to spend Chol HaMoed. Tzorchei HaRabim, because this is something the Rabim could use for Chol HaMoed. Even a Maisa Uman you can perform on Chol HaMoed, even if it was scheduled for Chol HaMoed, b'tareach gadol, it can be the biggest tircha, it's all mutter. And that's chafiras boiras sichin umaris, the digging of the various types of wells. Avu b'maisa hedyet, but a casual malacha, which is temporary, which is not a maisa uman, it's a layman's work, lo b'inan tzarech moed, we don't even require tzarech moed, behind yudumya de chatichas boiras sichin umaris, that's why we permit you to fix the wells, even the extra wells that are not specifically needed for Chol HaMoed. It's mutter the rabbim afilu einam tzarech hamoed. It's mutter for the rabbim even if it's not tzarech hamoed. And that's the reason why you're not allowed to dig a well for a yachid, says the Rush, even if the yachid needs the well, because that's a maisa uman. We only permit a maisa hedyet for a yachid. We don't permit a maisa uman. They only permit a maisa uman for a tzarech rabbim. But fixing a well is a maisa hedyet, will permit that for a yachid if he needs it for the moed. But for the rabbim, will even permit it if they don't need it. So the Rush basically gives us the klal. There's a concept of a maisa uman, there's professional labor, and there's also casual, a layman's work, a casual, unskilled labor. This comes up in other places also. If the person's garment has a tear and the person wants to mend the garment for Chol HaMoed. So it tells us we're supposed to employ a shinui. We should make a casual stitch, a non-permanent stitch, a maisa hedyot, the place can call it, but you can't fix the garment, you can't sew the garment up kerugil, because that would be a maisa uman. So these are the kolim that the Rishonim established. A maisa uman is professional, and the maisa hedyot is just unskilled labor. A maisa uman can be performed for the rabbim when the rabbim requires that malacha for Chol HaMoed, and a maisa hedyot, although it would be a malacha d'oraisa under ordinary circumstances, it's permitted for a rabbim even if the need is not a yomtif need. But when it comes to a yachid, a maisa uman is not permitted, but a maisa hedyot is if it's necessary for the moed. So in item Zion, I summed it up, tzorchei rabbim, when it's a tzorech hamoed, even a maisa uman is mutter. If it's not a tzarech hamoed, a maisa uman is aser, but a maisa hedid is shor, is mutter. A tzarech yachid is only mutter with tzarech hamoed, and it has to be a maisa hedid. Okay. Now, the Beis Yosef brings a trumas hadeshen in Simen Pei Hei. It's a very interesting question. Like we keep on saying, the community was home they weren't working Chol HaMoed, the community, they finally got to their to-do list, and they wanted to hire a Rav. Now, the Rav, his contract wasn't meant to, imagine if it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, he wasn't due to start his position until the following school year. He's going to be moving in from a different community. So the following school year, sometime in September. So we're talking about Pesach time, and they want to invite, they want to send a letter inviting, or they want to write a resume or receive a resume, something to do with the community hiring a Rav. Or they're trying to hire a Chazan, a Shliach Tzibur. So again, they're sending out a letter inviting a Shliach Tzibur to come. It's not relevant for the Yom Tov because he's not going to start working for the community on the Yom Tov. He's going to start his contract sometime after. But they want to know, can they send a letter inviting or a contract to this person, this candidate, for a Rav or a Shliach Tzibur for the community? So says the Trumas Hadeshim, Al Tzibur hamavakshim l'shloyach achar manhig. The Tzibur is looking for a leader. They're looking for a rabbi. Oy achar Shliach Tzibur. Or they're sending a letter after a chazen, they want to hire a chazen. L'soichrei al zman la'achar hamoy. They want to hire him sometime after Chol HaMoed. So says the Trumas Hadeshin, the loishorei lemichtav. You're not allowed to write. You can't write. You cannot. You have to wait till after Chol HaMoed. Send the letter to the potential rabbi after Chol HaMoed. You cannot write the letter on Chol HaMoed. Even though this would seem to be a tzorchei rabim, this is something that the community needs. Why? Says the Trumas Hadeshen, mishum d'lehetiru tzorchei rabim shelo l'tzorcha moed ela b'davar she'enu ma'isa uma, because it's only permitted to do unskilled labor for the sake of the community for after Yom Tov. Something that the community doesn't need right now, you can't do skilled ma'isa uma. You can only do Maisa Hedyet for after the Moed. So says the Trumas Hadeshin that writing, even in ordinary ksav, ordinary handwriting, would be considered a Maisa Uman. Someone, I was speaking to somebody before, so he had a good svara. He said maybe this was only back in those days when most people were uneducated and knowing how to write was considered like a commodity. It was considered a rare commodity, a special skill. But the Trumas Hadeshin writes, he paskins, that writing, even in ordinary ksav, is considered a maisa uma. If you would be hiring the rabbi or the chazan for Yom Tov itself, so then you'd be allowed to write to invite the rabbi because you're performing a maisa uman L'tzorech HaMoed for the Rabbim. That would be the equivalent, that would be analogous to digging the well, right? The Gemara tells us that if it's something that will benefit the Tzibur for the Yom Tov itself, you can even dig a well from scratch. And the Rush explains that the underlying principle is a Maisa Uma. So if you would be writing a letter of invitation to the potential Rav on Chol HaMoed for the Yom Tov, then you would be allowed to, because that's a Maisa Uman for the purpose of the Yom Tov. But if you're not inviting the Rav anyway until after Yom Tov, the Tzibur is not going to benefit from this hire until after, says the Trumas Hadeshin, you can't write that letter, because Ksiva is a Maisa Uman. That's what the Trumas Hadeshin paskins. The Beis Yosef argues very strongly against the Trumas Hadeshin. Ein dvarav michuvarim klal. His words are totally incorrect. It's a very strong expression that the Beis Yosef uses against the Trumas Hadeshin. Ein dvarav michuvarim klal. His words are not correct at all. Why? Says the Beis Yosef, the mashma vadai, because to me, it certainly seems, the loy hashiva ksiva malechas uma, that merely writing with ordinary handwriting is not a Maisa Uman. It's not considered skilled labor. It's considered unskilled labor. It's something that anybody can learn how to do. You don't have to be a professional scribe. If you want to write calligraphy, if you want to write something professionally, that's one thing. But in ordinary handwriting, to write a nice letter to the candidate inviting him to come for after Pesach, for the summer, for September, that shouldn't be considered a Maisa Uman. It's only a Maisa Uman, says the Beis Yosef, Okay, going Siva Sefer Torah Tefillin Umezuzis. That was actually one of the examples in the Mishnayos. You can't write Ksava Shuris because Ksava Shuris is something that we require a Ksiva Tama. It has to be a perfect letter. The letter has to be perfectly square. You want to beautify the Isis. You want it to be Mahudr. It has to be a Ksiva Tama. It's something that requires practice. A Ksava Shuris, that's a Maisa Uma. But Ksivas Igris, but just writing a letter, Vaday Maisa Heditu, and the Beis Yosef brings this from the Ramban, which we'll soon see. So we have here a very fundamental machaikas. If an ordinary handwriting is considered a Maisa Uman, or is it considered to be a Maisa Hedit? Ksava Shuris, when you're writing Ksava Shuris, a Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzos, that the Mishnah clearly said, we had it back in item Beis, that you're not allowed to. You can't even fix a Sefer Ezra or a Sefer Azara because writing Ksava Shuris is a Maisa Uma. However, writing a casual letter or just an ordinary letter using ordinary Ksiva, ordinary handwriting, that's only a Maisa Hedi. So the Trumas Hadeshin holds ordinary handwriting is a Maisa Uma. The Beis Yosef holds that ordinary handwriting is only a Maisa Hedi. Going back to some of the examples of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah told us that the Beis Din is allowed to write various documents, but when it comes to an ordinary person writing a Shtar Hedyet, a Shtar Choyf, he can't. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Yomtif Halacha Yud Beis, V'zeh L'shoinei, this is a quote from the Rambam, Koisvin Dayanim, judges, the courts, are allowed to write the official documents. Igrishum, that was one of the examples. Shishamu lebalchoyf, that for a collection agency, they assess the value of a certain property, and the balchoyf is going to be empowered to seize that property. So the Beis Din, they already assess the property. They can write down the value. They're not expected to remember the value of the property. They have a lot of things on their minds. They're allowed to write down what they assess the property to be. Or they're allowed to write down documents, they can record what was sold for the purpose of the man, the husband's commitments to feeding his wife, supporting his wife, and supporting the daughters, his wife's children from a previous marriage that he committed himself to support. So they sold certain assets, or they assessed certain assets. Shtori chalitza umiyunin, those are the other examples we had. The proof that the woman received her chalitza, or that she rejected the rabbinic kedushin, the kol hadoyim lehen midvarim shetzrichem dayanim lekoisvam kedei, that should be she is zachrein, that they should remember, the chen koisvei gittin the kedushay nashim, you can write receipts, you can write gifts, shekol elu tzorchei rabim hein, all of these things are considered communal needs. These are communal needs. So the Rambam, he gives us a taich. He gives us a reason for the first Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah permits this whole list of things, the Rambam says, is because it's a tzorchei rabim. So now, if it's a tzorchei rabim, let's just remind ourselves, are you allowed to do tzorchei rabim in chol hamoed? So it depends. This we know. If it's necessary for the moed, you can even perform a maisa uman. You can even dig a well from scratch. If it's not needed until after the moed, then you can perform a Maisa Hedyet for the community, but you can't perform a Maisa Uma. Now, writing, we have a machlekes between the Trumas Hadeshin and the Beis Yosef, is writing, ordinary Ksav, a Maisa Uman or a Maisa Hedyet. So, we don't know yet, but let's look at the Rambam in the next halacha. The Rambam writes in Halacha Yudalid, he writes there, Mutter lichtoiv igris shel shel shalom. So the Rambam taiched, the Rambam translates igris shel rishus, like the Yushalmi, that it's a friendly letter. Look what he says. The Kosev Cheshbenoisev Umachashev Yitzyosev. You're allowed to write down shopping lists. You're allowed to write down your expenditures. You had to write a check on Chol HaMoed, the Tzorechei HaMoed. You're allowed to fill in the ledger to keep balance of your accounts, if people still do that nowadays or not, I'm not sure. Sheksivois Elu, because these writings, Ein adam nizhor b'tikuna ma'oi. These are things that people just jot down casually. A person, he wants to write a friendly letter. He doesn't write it with calligraphy. He jots it down. It's a friendly, casual letter. A person wants to fill out a check. He writes a check. And then he wants to record the tzias. He wants to record the debit column and the credit column in his ledger. He writes it casually. He's not medactic. He writes it as a maisa hedyot. B'nimsu k'maisa hedyot b'malachas. This can be compared to an ordinary maisa hedyot. So if we contrast the two rabbim, the two Rambams, the first Rambam, when he talks about the official documents that the Beis Din would be writing, he doesn't say the reason why it's mutter is because it's a maisa hedyot. He says the reason why it's mutter is because it's a tzarchei rabbim. When the Rambam talks about an individual, a private person, casually writing a letter to his friend or casually filling out his ledger, keeping track of his expenses, the Rambam says the reason why it's permitted is because it's a maisa hedyot. So it would seem from the Rambam that the Rambam is making like a compromise. It would seem that the Trumas Hadeshin holds that writing by definition is a maisa uman. The Beis Yosef holds that writing by definition is a maisa hedyot. It's considered a layman. It's considered an unskilled labor. The Rambam seems to make a distinction. When a Beis Din writes up a document, that's a formal professional document. That would be a maisa uman. Who knows? Maybe they do write it with calligraphy. They want the Beis Din's documents to be very clear. They want the Beis Din's documents to have a kiyum. So they're professionally written. They have a scribe who writes the documents in the courtroom. That's a professional document. When a person sits down to write a friendly letter, he's writing a casual, not particular ksav. He's not medaktik. So the Rambam says that a Beis Din's ksav is a maisa uman, and a private individual is a maisa hedyot. So that's why the Rambam says that the reason the Beis Din can write their documents is because it's a tzarchei rabbim. He doesn't say the reason is because it's a maisa hedyot. He says it's a tzarchei rabbim because the Rambam is permitting even professional labor. And the Mefarshim say, the Prima Gadim says, that apparently the Rambam holds that these documents could be construed, they can be loosely construed as being a tzarech hamoyed, that maybe the woman wants to have the proof of her chalitza already now. This is something that potentially could be a tzarech hamoyed. So the Beis Din can perform a maisa uman because it's a maisa, it's a tzarech rabim, and it's considered a yomtif use because the people want to have these documents in their hand now. They might be relevant for now. That would be analogous to digging a well that the rabim needs. A casual letter is a tzarech hamoyed, but it's only for an individual. That has to be a maisa hedyot. The Magid Mishnah brings a Ramban. The Ramban writes that a maisa hedyot, how do we categorize a maisa hedyot? Shekol adam koisev kafi mashi is damin loy. Everybody writes it his way. There's no professional, there's no standard how to write. Ulafikach ein tzrichim shinui, and therefore it doesn't require a shinui because writing is considered a maisa hedyot. This is the Ramban, by the way, that the Beis Yosef alluded to earlier, that the Ramban holds that writing, when a casual private person writes, he's not trying to reach any kind of a standard. Everybody writes the way they want to, and therefore it's considered a maisa hedyot. So it would seem, like we mentioned in item Yud Beis, that the Rambam is creating a pshara, he's creating a compromise. He's actually saying it depends between the situation. When the Beis Din writes something, it's a maisa uman. When a person writes a friendly letter, derech arai, it's a casual writing, that's considered a maisa hedyot. There's a fascinating rivash, and this is something that that you're probably thinking. How could the Rambam say that writing a get or writing a kedushin or a chalitza is a tzarchei rabbim, right? How often is the whole, are people waiting online? Is the whole community waiting online to receive their shtar miyun, right? It's a one-off. The girl was married off as a ketana, and when she became of age, she rejected the rabbinic kedushin, she annulled the kedushin, and she needs a shtar miyun. How can you consider this to be a communal need? How could that be a tzarchei rabbim? So there's a fascinating...
You need an ordered society.
Very good. Exactly. So the rivash, this reminds me of like when I used to live in Canada, so we had to renew our American passports. So you go to the embassy, and the clerk, there's a person that's hired there for all the municipal activities. How many people, I don't recall, you know, waiting for hours and hours for my passport to be renewed. It's one person, two people, says the Rivash. The Rivash says exactly what you said, Ezra. It's a fascinating Rivash. It's a Yesod. The Beis Yosef brings this Rivash. Kol davar hamizdam in tadir. Something that constantly comes up. Afo pisha bekol pam upam hu davar prati. Each time, it's only relevant for an individual. It's not that the people are coming en masse to get their passports or to get their shtar miyun, but it's something that comes up from time to time. Even though each time it comes up, it's only a davar prati, it's only relevant for an individual, that's considered tzarchei rabim. Why? And this is exactly what you said. V'hatam b'pnei shetzorech rabim lahamin hamishpat. Because it's a tzorech rabim to have justice. That's what justifies the Beis Din writing a lot of the documents that we listed before, the gzeirois and the enactments and the verdicts, the linhoik b'dvarim halalu, and to write all these other documents, the kemash shaninu, gittin, shoivreis, receipts. These are things that you would have to go to the local clerk, the community. It's a paid position. The Beis Din is a paid position. These are that you open an embassy and they're there to handle all of your legal documents. This is considered a tzarchei rabim. So the Rambam permits tzarchei rabim because it's considered a tzarech hamoed. So is writing considered a maisa uman or is it considered a maisa hed? The Trumas Hadeshim holds it's always a maisa uman. The Beis Yosef brings that these Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban, say that b'derech klal it's a maisa hed. Sitting down to write a letter, to take notes, that's a maisa hedyet. When the Beis Din writes something, that might be a maisa uman, but on the other hand, by definition, when the Beis Din writes a document, it falls under the category of tzarchei rabim, because that's the whole purpose of the municipality, of the office, of the clerk, that he's there to serve the community. Everything that he does, by definition, is considered a tzarchei rabim. It doesn't have to be like the well, that the whole community is using the water supply at once. Even if each time it's an individual, but we're mitzarif, it's a community need to have such a service, to have such an office running. So this office could be running on Chol HaMoed. Tosfos in Moed Katan has a very different interpretation on what's going on here. Tosfos in Moed Katan says, Eilu kosfin b'moed, the following documents can be written on the Moed, and he's referring to the Mishnah, the entire list. Nire, says Tosfos, why are these things permitted? The kol hani havidavar avud, because all of these things are to incur a loss. Pen yomis hanoisin, in the case of the gift, the gifter might die if there's no record of the gift, or your edim, or maybe the oral edim might die, or bezdin, or maybe the bezdin will die or be out of commission for some other reason, or yelchul medina tayam, or maybe they'll have to travel. You know why you can write your prosbul on Chol HaMoed? Because if you don't do it now, maybe you won't get to it later. So it can be perceived as a davar ha'avod, and therefore we permit ksiva because it's a davar ha'avod.
Can you say the Tosfos is consistent with the Rivash in the same way that if people can't get their loans, the documents, all the paperwork done, there'll be chaos?
Yeah.
So hold on.
So Tosfos doesn't call it a tzarchei rabim. He considers it a davar ha'avod, a different category, right? Now we can wonder, why did Tosfos not say like the Rambam, right? Rebbe Ezra, the Rambam says it's a tzarchei rabim. Tosfos says it's a davar ha'avod. He's saying something different. Why did Tosfos say something different? Why didn't he say that it's a tzarchei rabim? So perhaps Tosfos argues on the Rambam that you cannot consider this a Rambam, a Rabim. So Ezra, perhaps Tosfos fundamentally disagrees with the Rambam. Or, alternatively, Tosfos agrees with the Rambam that it's considered to be a Tzarchei Rabim. However, it's not a Tzarech HaMoed. Because remember, we made a distinction that even a Tzarchei Rabim, we only permit a Maisa Uman if it's necessary for today. If it's not necessary, maybe the Rambam holds that this whole list of items don't really have to be done today. Why can't they wait till after Chol HaMoed? So that's why the Tosfos has to say that it's a davar ha'avod. So we don't really know why Tosfos argues with the Rambam. Tosfos might fundamentally argue with the Rambam, that these things are not considered Tzorchei Rabim. Maybe Tosfos disagrees with the Rivash, that Tzorchei Rabim means that the entire Rabim is benefiting from that tikkun, like the well, where everybody is benefiting at once from the water supply. And that's why the Tosfos has to say that it's a Dabra of it. Or perhaps we can minimize the Machlekes. Maybe Tosfos agrees fundamentally with the Rambam, but it's not a Tzorech Hamoe. Why does it have to be done today? So maybe that's why Tosfos has to say that we need to come on to Dabar Ha'avad. So Tosfos says it's a Dabar Ha'avad. Now, the Magid Mishnah doesn't like the Tosfos. The Magid Mishnah defends the Rambam's position. Because says the Magid Mishnah in item Tesvav, the Mishnah Haniskeres, the previous Mishnah that gave us the list of items that the Bezin is allowed to write, Upirish Rabbeinu Misham Tzorchei Rabim, the Rambam explained it's Mutter because it's Tzorchei Rabim, but Rashi, Vishar Mefarshim, other Mefarshim, that's Tosfos, they explain because Davar HaAvod. And Rashi says, for example, why is a get a Davar HaAvod? Sherotza Lotzes Vishayara, it should say. The husband wants to travel. V'im Eino Kosev Achshav, Tesu Zois Aguna. And if you don't allow her to receive her get, she might wind up in Aguna. So Rashi says, almost like a fantastic case, when the Mishnah says you can write a get on Chol HaMoed, we're speaking about a specific case where the husband is beroiges, he's about to travel, and if we don't squeeze the get out of him now, she's going to end up being in Iguna. That's what Rashi says, the Magid Mishnah quotes. But says the Magid Mishnah, he's not happy with that, because Nira Midvarav, that if it wouldn't be for that, you wouldn't be allowed to write the get. Vikasha says the Magid Mishnah, because the Mishnah says you can write gitin on Chol HaMoed, stam. The Mishnah seems to permit it under any circumstances. The Mishnah is not talking about a fantastic, extreme situation where the husband is threatening to not give the get at all. The Mishnah is simply talking about writing Gittin and Chol HaMoed. So the Magid Mishnah prefers the Rambam that it's because of Tzorchei Rabim. And it's just a general blanket heter of Tzorchei Rabim. We consider this to be a Tzorcha Rabim, and we even permit at Maisa Uman Mechein Iker, and the Magid Mishnah says Mechein Iker. So let's take stock of what we have over here. We have the machlekes between the Trumas HaDeshen that an ordinary handwriting is a Maisa Uman. We have the opinion of the Beis Yosef that an ordinary handwriting is a Maisa Hedit. We have the Rambam who says that when Bezdin produces official-looking documents, professional documents, that's a Maisa Uman. That might be like calligraphy. That's a Maisa Uman. The only reason why it's Mutter is because it's Tzorchei Rabim. Tosfos seems to agree. Tosfos says it's only mutter because of Davar HaAvod. He also has to file for an exceptional heter. A private person, letter writing, filling in your ledger, these things are only rabbinic. These things are only maisa hetit, I should say, and therefore they're permitted even for an individual. So it says in item Tes Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that mi'ikar hadin, our ksav, our handwriting, is a maisa hetit. So, like the Beis Yosef, like the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, the Ramban, and the Rambam. Ordinary handwriting, not a Bezdin writing calligraphy. Ordinary handwriting, just sketching something out. That's why you can write Igrish Shlumin, you can write letters. And that's how the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah paskins, in Ois Dal. However, the Darkei Moshe brings, and this is something that we see, that in certain places, there's a minhag to employ a shinui, to write on a slant. I know some people do that. They write on a slant. So technically, you're writing yourself a shopping list. Why are you writing the shopping list? Because you want to buy things for the Moed. You want to buy things for Chol HaMoed. You want to cook for Yom Tov. So you write down a shopping list. So you're not writing it in calligraphy. You're writing in ordinary handwriting. You're not makbid. Everybody writes it their own way. So me'ikra din, it's mutter to write. It meets both qualifications. It's tzorech ha'moed, and it's only a maisa hedid. That's how we pass it. It's like writing a letter. However, some people have the minhag to make a shinui just to accommodate somewhat the Trumas HaDeshen. They make a shinui. So some people write on a slant. They write a little bit less carefully than they ordinarily would in order to accommodate the opinion of the Trumas HaDeshen. But it has to be a Tzorech HaMoed. It has to be a Tzorech HaMoed because you can't do malacha not in Tzorech HaMoed. It has to be. You can't write something down on Chol HaMoed if it's not necessary for Chol HaMoed. You can write a shopping list. You can write a letter, a friendly letter. It has to be something that you enjoy doing for the purpose of Chol HaMoed, but it has to be at least for Chol HaMoed because it's a melacha. it has to be done with Tzarech HaMayit. But it's a Maisa Hedyit, so it's allowed to be done even for personal reasons. Now, if it's a Tzarech Rabim, so let's say, for example, a Tzarech Rabim, you don't have to make a Shinui. So if we click back into the Klalim, let's say a Shul. Is a Shul allowed to print its normal notification, the Zmanei HaTfilah, the announcements, the activities that are scheduled for Shabbos and Yom Tov, are they allowed to? So, yes, because that's a Tzarech Rabim, and even a Maisa Uman is permitted the Tzarech Rabim, certainly for the community, for the congregation, the weekly bulletin, that would be allowed to be produced on Chol HaMoed for the purpose of the last days of Yom Tov, because it's a Tzarech Rabim, it's even if it's a Maisa Uman. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tav Kuf Mem Hei, Halacha Zayin, anything that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, then it's mutter even without a shinui. Right? This is the Shulchan Aruch talking, the Beis Yosef talking, who already argued on the Trumas Hadeshin. It's a Maisa Hedin. So anything you're allowed to write, why would I be allowed to write? Because it's a Tzarech HaMoed. Anything you're allowed to write, you don't have to make a shinui. There's a minhag to make a shinui. You don't have to make a shinui because it's a Maisa Hedin. Anything that's usher to write, why is it usher to write? Because you're writing something for after the Moed, it's not relevant for today, then it doesn't help a Shinui, says the Shulchan Aruch, because a Shinui doesn't make it Ois Malacha. The Shinui doesn't make it that it's no longer a Malacha. It would still be an Issur Deraisa on Shabbos to write with the Shinui. Just because I write on a slant, I'm allowed to write on Shabbos? Of course not. It would still be a Malacha Deraisa. So the Beis Yosef says it very clearly. If you're allowed to write, you don't even need a Shinui, because it's a Maisa Hedyot. The minhag, the Rama says, is to make a Shinui. Some people make a Shinui. If you're not allowed to write it because it's not a Tzarech HaMoed, then it wouldn't help to make a Shinui, because it would be still something that's a Malacha Do'iraisa on Shabbos. So whether you hold Malachas Chol HaMoed is Do'iraisa or the Rabbanon, it would be forbidden because it's not a Maisa, it's not a Tzarech HaMoed. So it has to be Mutter, it has to be something that's a Tzarech HaMoed. Okay. So just to make a summary here in item Yutches, we gave the example, you're allowed to write a reshima, a list for shopping, because it's a Maisa Hedyot. There might be a minhag to write with slanty letters, and you're also allowed to write a Shalom Zachar. A person wants to make a notification, a private simcha, a person wants to notify the shul that he's making a Shalom Zachar. That's a personal thing. He's allowed to do that for a Maisa Hedyot. He can write an ordinary note. It wouldn't be proper on Chol HaMoed to print a notification or a fancy thing for a Shalom Zachar or a Bris, a notification, because that would be a Maisa Uman for a Tzarech Hedyot. But you're certainly allowed to write a notification, put on the bulletin board, the Tzarech Hedyot for a Yachid, the Tzarech HaMoed. I found an interesting Shiloh. There's a machlekes between the Rashba and the Ritva about chidushei Torah. If a person is learning, person has an idea, is he allowed to write a chiddush on Chol HaMoed? Now, it's a Maisa Hedyot, granted, he's not writing Saba Shuris, but it's not really a Tzarech HaMoed. He's just putting this into his notes. He's going to keep it for after. He wants to keep this just for posterity. He wants to write down his chiddush. He doesn't want to forget his chiddush. So it's very fascinating. The Rashba says that it's not considered a davar avod. Why? Because if you thought of the chiddush today, chances are it's not such a big chiddush. Chances are that you'll remember the chiddush, and next time you learn it, you'll come up with the chiddush again. So it's not a davar avod. Furthermore, says the Rashba, you're afraid you'll forget it, so chazer it. So chazer, don't forget it. Right? He brings the Gemaras to talk about how the Tanoim and Amoroyim would chazer something 40 times, and it was chashiv kemunach bekis. It would be as if it was in his pocket. So the Rashba says you can't write your chedushim, because number one, chances are you won't forget it. Number two, if you're afraid you'll forget it, so chazer. So instead of writing it, chazer it a few times. That's what the Amoroyim do. That's what the Rashba says. The Ritva, that's not the halacha. The Ritva says, other poskim bring, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you are allowed to write your chedushei Torah because we are afraid you might forget it. And ein lecha davar ha'avid gadol mizeh, forgetting your learning. Or some people, while they're learning, they make little marginal notes it, even if it's not a chiddush, but it just helps them. They summarize. It helps them clarify. So it's an aid during the learning process itself to jot down notes as they're learning. They make an outline. So most Rishonim, and that's how we Paskin hold, that that's considered a Tzarech HaMoed, or it's considered a Davar HaAvod, to have to not understand the learning and wait till after Chol HaMoed, that would be a Davar HaAvod. I saw an interesting current Shaila, texting or emailing. So there are two issues. Text: can you send a text? Can you send an email on Chol HaMoed? So there are actually two issues that the Paiskim discuss, two diyunim. One diyun is typing on the typewriter or the keyboard, is that a Maisa Uman? Because on the other hand, it's a skilled labor. You can't just get up and type, you can finger type. But to actually type properly, it's a Maisa Uman. So some Paiskim say, no, it's not considered a Maisa Uman because it's something that anybody could learn. Michael, this ties into your spark, because nowadays most people know how to type, so maybe that itself would make it not a Maisa Uman. A lot of places can say that typing, pushing buttons, is not considered a Maisa Uman. There's another Svara that I saw, that the letters that appear on the screen of your text or of your computer is not considered a Ksav Shel Kayama. So although it might be Aser Drabanan on Shabbos, obviously people don't send texts. Unfortunately, you shouldn't. You shouldn't send texts or emails on Shabbos, obviously, because at the very least it's Aser Drabanan. But it's not a Ksav Shel Kayama. So on such a Ksav, it will be Mutter and Chol HaMoed. So most of the Poskim say that you're allowed to type, you're allowed to text or send an email on Chol HaMoed. However, you should not print things out, because printing might be considered producing something that's a Maisa Uman. So these are basically the columns. So we have the Malacha of Ksiva, and we simply plug it into the ordinary column of Chol HaMoed. Maisa Hedyet, Maisa Uman, Tzorchei Rabim, L'Tzorech HaMoed, Tzorchei Hedyet L'Tzorech HaMoed, for after the Moed, and it basically all depends on whether you consider the Ksiva to be a Maisa Uman or a Maisa Hedyet. The Paiskim say that ordinary handwriting is a Maisa Hedyet. Calligraphy or Ksav Ashuris would be considered a Maisa Uman. Yasha Koyach, everybody.
Yasha Koyach.